Anyways, we look at this passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. As we look at it, you're going to see there's a contrast. There's a contrast there between a tent and a heavenly dwelling place. Now, what the writer of Corinthians is saying is, presently, we are living in a body which is kind of weak, like a tent. But when we get to glory, we're going to have a heavenly body. So that's the contrast that's being made in this passage. So now let us hear the word of God. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That is, when you accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within, and the Holy Spirit living within is like a down payment. It's a deposit, indicating that we belong to the Lord, and when the time comes for us to leave this earth, we are going to be with Him. In verse number 6, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our Redeemer. Amen. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he says, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now just think about it. We who are still alive, the dead, they've gone. Christ came back. They came up to the grave, joined him in the air. Then we who are still alive, like we are now, and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We are going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, you've heard this phrase before. I have been justified, I am being sanctified, and I will be glorified. So when we accepted Christ as Savior, we were justified, just as if we had never sinned. Now, in the process of life, we are then being sanctified. It is a growing experience. We ought to be more Christ-like today than we were last year. It is a process that God is taking us through, allowing us to listen to the Holy Spirit as He works through us. And then there is a day coming when we will be glorified. And when we get to be with Jesus and meet Him in the air, that's when we'll be in our glorified body. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we are present with the Lord. That's what Paul was saying in the passage of Scripture that we read this morning. He says, I'm here in this earthly tent, but oh, how I long to be in my heavenly dwelling, to be with God, to be with Him forever. Far better for me to be with Him than to be here on earth. And that's really true where we are today. I always remember back when the airplanes went into the Twin Towers in New York City. I always remember that after that, Dr. Billy Graham was asked to speak, and he stood. He was an old man at the time, and he made his way up to the pulpit with some help, and he said, I want to tell you this. In the 3,000 people who died that day, some were Christians, and now that they are with the Lord, they don't want to come back here to earth. Now, that's what it's going to be like. Heaven is so glorious that when we get there, we don't want to be back here on earth. We'll be very happy to be there. We will be glorified at the very moment Jesus arrives in the air. Now, there are some facts that you and I need to keep in mind. There is the glory of conversion, the glory of communion, the glory of confession and the glory of consummation. So first of all, the glory of conversion. We read these words in 2 Corinthians, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God's Holy Spirit residing in you and in me is light to the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our faces kind of glowed? Which reminds me, back 15 years ago, I had the privilege of baptizing Kay Earhart. Kay Earhart is now with the Lord. But in baptizing Kay, we came in, the baptistry is here, for those who don't know, it came down the steps and here. And usually when I'm baptizing someone, I hold them this way and they are looking that way, and I ask them questions, and then when I'm finished, I baptize them and bring them up again. But when Kay got into the baptistry, she wasn't satisfied with this. She turned around and looked at me, and she put her hands on my shoulders as I was asking the questions. And the glow that was on her face was absolutely magnificent. The choir who was there at that time and those who were attending, they were able to see the glow on Kay's face. And it was absolutely marvelous to see. And it's a moment that I will never forget. I will always remember to see this glow on her face. Praise be to God. Now, we do get a glow when we accept Christ as Savior. His Spirit comes in to be with us and gives us a light, and we have a light, have a better look on our face than we ever did before. There's a time that we have the presence of God is so evident that it happens at our baptism. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when we actually get to see Jesus face to face? Can you imagine? It's going to be absolutely magnificent. That's the glory of conversion. Then there is the glory of communion. Later this morning, we're going to gather around the communion table, but we're talking about communion in a slightly different way. We read in Scripture, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness." That's the process of sanctification. We are being transformed. I've noticed in the lives of some people, when they accept Christ as Savior, sometimes there seems to be an instantaneous transformation. But in other cases, it's a period of time. It takes time for us to grow into the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. We have his Spirit operating within us. Praise be to God. As you and I gaze into the mirror of God's Word and see the glory of Christ reflected, we catch something of his glory when the Holy Spirit is alive, active, and well within us. I remember years ago, I met a fellow Christian on the street. I didn't know he was Christian at the time, but we were talking, and just in a very few words, I knew that he was a believer. He knew that I was a believer. There was just some chemistry that existed at that time. And you remember when Moses went up on the mountain a number of times to be with the Lord. And on this one occasion when he came down, his face was aglow. And the people saw such a glow on his face that they didn't want to go near him. And so he put a veil over his face until after a while the glow dissipated. But the people didn't want to go near him. It was the glory of God upon him, which is really something to think about. Some years ago, D.L. Moody, the known evangelist, we've all heard of Billy Sunday, we heard of Billy Graham. Well, D.L. Moody was a great evangelist, and he had lived a grand life. He had a family. His son had two little children, a little boy and a little girl, and sadly, they died at a very young age. And then D.L. Moody was now on his deathbed, and when he was there, the family was gathered around him. And he says this, awakened from his sleep, he said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." At which point, his son, who was standing there, he said, "No, no, Father, you are dreaming." And then D.L. Moody said, "I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." He saw his grandchildren's faces. They were there. He was going. And the next moment, he was ready to take his last breath. He said, "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. It is glorious." You and I, we don't know how we're going to die. But what we do know is, unless the Lord comes back, we are going to go through physical death. And we are going to meet the Lord face to face. If we put our trust in him as our Savior. There's the glory of conversion, the glory of communion with God and communion with one another when we gather around the table, and the glory of confession. And there are at least two types of confession. What are they? The first is confession of our sin, our sinful life, and the second is a confession of putting our trust in Jesus. It's something that we need to speak of. We need to confess of our sin. Now, if you and I are totally honest with ourselves, we know that as humans, we say things we ought not to say. We think things we ought not to think. We do things we ought not to do. Now, we know that, and anything that is out of the will of God is sinful. And you and I need to reach a point where we confess our sin and say, "Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior." And then we need to confess that the only one who could possibly be our Savior is Jesus the Christ. I always think about King David. King David had a heart that was the same heart as God. He had a heart after God. And yet this man sinned. You know that he committed adultery with a lady by the name of Bathsheba. And he tried to cover up his sin. We won't get into all the details, but he tried to ignore his sin. He tried to cover it up, and he could not. And he was living an absolute miserable life. And then one day, Nathan the prophet came into him, and he said, "You are that man. You are that sinner." So it was the prophet of God that pointed out to David what his problem was. And at that point, King David then confessed, and he wrote a psalm, Psalm number 51, and it is something to read every now and then. To read what he said, it was his great confession, and he put his trust back into the Lord. And then we read these words, part of Psalm 51. David says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence," from his glory, from his presence, "or take your Holy Spirit from me." Now listen to this. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Those words, "restore to me the joy of your salvation." It's not my salvation. Jesus saves us. We acknowledge that he saves us. We can't earn our way. We don't deserve our way. But we can have our way when we put our trust in Jesus. Even David, back in the Old Testament, he was talking about God's salvation to him. It's the same in the New Testament. It's God's salvation through Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in us that saves us. It's the glory of the confession of our sin. We need to humbly come before God, recognize that we're sinners in the need of a Savior. And then the second is to put our complete trust in Jesus. Our complete trust in Jesus as Savior. We need to speak it with our mouth. We need to tell people, "Yes, I put my trust in Jesus as my Savior, in no one else and nothing else but into him." Do you remember there was a young man in the New Testament by the name of Stephen? He ended up being the first martyr in the Christian world at that time. And young Stephen, and he was speaking before the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin is the Jewish ruling body. It was alive and active and well then. It was not alive, acting well, for many, many years. And just in the past 10 years, the Sanhedrin has been reinstated in Israel. But back then, it was a very active group of people, 70 or 71 elders who made decisions on behalf of the nation of Israel. And here was Stephen. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Like the face of an, it was the presence of God in Stephen. The presence of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the presence of God in you and in me was such that others would see there's something different about that person? I'd like to know what it is. When we think of all these experiences as the glory of conversion, the glory of communion, the glory of confession, and believe me, David was in glory when he confessed. Before he did, he was living a life that was miserable. And maybe there's someone here this morning whose life has been miserable. Let me tell you something. It may be because you haven't confessed your sin. It may be because you haven't forgiven someone. We cannot, in our own human way, forgive other people the way they need to be forgiven, unless we have God's Spirit in our life. And when Jesus is in our life through his Spirit, then we have the power to forgive. So if we have been miserable, then come to Jesus. Confess him your sin. Confess him as Savior. Put your trust in him. We have the glory of consummation. The Apostle John, in his first letter, writes, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now think about it. If the trumpet call should sound, we sang about it this morning, when the trumpet call sounds, when that sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first, the dead saints in Christ, then we who are alive will go up to be with him. But we know that when he appears in the clouds, we shall be like him, for we will finally see him as he is. It'll be a day of glory. We read this, the glorious freedom of the children of God. Not every person in this world is a child of God. You often hear people say, we're all God's children. That's not so. We're not all God's children. Only those who put their trust in Christ as Savior can be classified, identified as God's children. The scripture says the glorious freedom of God's children. We have a freedom that no one else has. Praise be to God. And that freedom is not only just for now, it's for all eternity. Keep in mind, the order is the sleeping saints first, the living saints second. And then Paul writes, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now keep in mind, the twinkling of an eye is not a blink. It's a twinkle. It's very, very fast, and it touches very quickly, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That's a promise. We will be changed. Today, you and I have completed our study on the redemption of the church, the redemption of the bride of Christ. We will be going with him. And then you heard me say, we're going to meet him in the air. That's what the scripture says. So that's what's going to take place. Now, you might ask the question, why in the air? Why? Well, there's a reason. The devil, Satan, is the prince or ruler of the power or the kingdom of the air. He has been ever since the days of Adam and Eve. He continues to be the prince of the power of this air. And all you and I have to do is look around, and we can see that the power of evil is present. It's more present in some countries than others. In countries where they do not worship the Lord God Almighty, evil is mighty and evil is present. And in other countries where we may worship the Lord our God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's still evil here. And this Satan is the ruler of the prince of the power of the air. But we know this is happening. However, his power is ending. And when Jesus comes to meet his church in the air, he's going to come with the shout of the Lord, the trumpet of God. The archangel's voice will awaken and call together the church of Jesus Christ. Our blessed Lord will pass right through the sphere of satanic evil influence. He will come through. We will go through, and we will be with him forever. We will no longer be open to satanic attack of any nature. What a prospect this is for the child of God. And may that day dawn soon. May that day dawn soon. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We want to glorify you, glorify your name. We thank you for being our creator, our savior, and the one who is going to be our companion throughout all eternity. You will be our king. You will be the Lord of lords. And we are so grateful. We will humbly bow down before you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.